Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm really excited to welcome to our program today award-winning author Melanie Dobson. She's making her first appearance on our show this year to talk to us not only about her literary journey, but her new book that's getting a lot of attention, Shadows of Leydenbrook Manor. We're going to talk to her not only about the characters she's been able to introduce us to, but also the journey of being able to share this story with the world and the way to see the way that people around the world are responding to it. If you're just now hearing about the book, I'll tell you all a little bit later or you can get it for yourself. But Melanie, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Well, look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. There was a lot in this book, Melanie, that I did not expect, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But the thing that really got me, even as I was prepping for this segment, was, you know, your commitment to try to tell a story that was not only, I think, believable, but also, I think, so relatable, regardless of what year that it was set in. How important was that for you, Melanie, and do you think that the response showed you that hard work is paying off?
I think so. I just, you know, I always start, I should say a novel is like putting together a puzzle for me. So you kind of get a piece here and a piece there, and you kind of put it all together a little at a time. And with my characters, I just had, you know, kind of this image, and my Libby character in particular, the girl in the book who's the thread through the whole book, I just had this image of this beautiful but troubled girl who, you know, has some issues but just has so much talent and so much potential. And so just had her in mind and then just started piecing that story together with all these characters who weren't, you know, weren't perfect by any means, but they loved each other, were trying to do the very best they could in the 1950s. And my characters, the time slip novel, of course, so two different time periods. So in the 1950s and then my contemporary characters as well.
Exactly. And I think I'm so glad that you mentioned Libby, because I think the thing that got me too was that, you know, there is something that we can learn from her in the way that she approached to life, but also I think in the way that people, you know, treated her and the way that she was looked at. I think it's so interesting. When I was prepping for this, Melanie, I thought to myself, you know, how much we can learn from not only, of course, people's differences, but also appreciating the gifts, as you referenced, you know, the gifts that they have to offer. Do you think that is one of the big lessons of the book, to be able to value people as they are and not as we would have them to be?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. That was my intention. That lesson, also just this lesson of transformation, of, you know, having hope in people, having just this hope that we can change from, you know, Libby, who is having such a hard time sort of in her cocoon, so to speak, and then just becoming this beautiful artists and beautiful, you know, butterflies are throughout the book. You know, the transformation of a butterfly from this cocoon to a butterfly, and just seeing that in Libby, the beauty just coming out of her as people loved her. And, we're just there for her, even though, you know, she had what we would call today, she was on the autism spectrum, but they didn't know what that was back in the 1950s. And so, you know, she was just different or odd, and they just didn't know. If they would have known, they would have sent her away to a home, but they didn't know, and her parents just loved her, even though they weren't quite sure what to do. And I think, you know, you mentioned, like, this kind of striking a chord, and I think that is the theme that has struck a chord with so many parents, is, you know, just having this child, seeing them, you know, having a hard time as a young individual, and then seeing them grow up and seeing what can happen, just the beauty that can come out of their life.
Right, exactly. I think that is such a great point. And that brings, you mentioned the parents, and I think there's so much that we can learn from them as well. And the butterflies, too. I definitely want to come back to that, because I thought there was one striking dialogue that happened between Libby and her father in the book that I think really says a whole lot about their place. You know, I think the other thing about the parents that really got me was that even in that situation, there was, I think, you know, tension because of, you know, what had happened between them, and readers will have to read the book to figure out what that is. We're not going to spoil that for them. But I think with Walter in particular, I love the fact that you were able to write this strong and very complex character in Walter. I mean, what was that like for you? Because this is my first book of yours to read, Melanie, and I think that the thing that got me was that the male character as well as the female characters are both so strong and, you know, well-developed. What was it like for you to kind of bring Walter's story and what he was dealing with to life?
Well, Walter was one of those characters. Sometimes you really struggle with a character, and I do at least. I just, you know, trying to get there. And Lydia struggled with a little bit of just trying to get her right. I really wanted her to be true to, you know, that who she was as somebody on the autism spectrum. But with Walter, that was one of those characters that flowed for me. And I think I have an awesome relationship with my dad. And as you see at the beginning of the book, okay, there's a picture of my dad and I dedicated this story to him because it's a story, you know, my family life is far from perfect. And we had a hard time, you know, when I was a child and my parents had a hard time, but my dad has been so faithful through the years, 45 years of him just loving me and loving my brother and my sister, and just I think his faithfulness. And so I wanted a character who has been Walter, who was put in a hard situation, and like you said, the readers can find out what that hard situation was, particularly right at the beginning of the book, but kind of put into an impossible situation, but a faithful person, a loving person, and trying to do the very best that he could in a hard place. And so as soon as I developed that in Walter, he just kind of flowed, and it was fun, then to kind of put him as a main character through the whole book. And again, the readers can see how that happens, but just kind of getting his perspective on everything as sort of an outsider looking in to the story.
Exactly, and I'm going to talk more about that as well. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Melanie Dobson is making her first appearance on our show today to talk to us not only about her journey as a storyteller, but her new book, Shadows of Leydenbrook Manor. We'll tell you all a little bit later in the program how you all can get the book for yourself. You know, we've all heard that saying about the sins of the father, the sins of the mother, Melanie. In this book, it's kind of the sins of both in some ways. And I think it goes to showing, and I think so many people reading this, and I think this goes back to the point I was making earlier, so many people today in 2015 can relate to that, the power of secrets, the danger of secrets, and how sometimes the truth is something that rips people apart instead of bringing them together. Has that been part of the great thing for you, that no matter where you set your books, you're able to kind of share some timely lessons as you're entertaining that we can all kind of appreciate?
Yeah, that's sort of my heart as I write fiction, and this is my 14th novel. Well, technically it's my 17th, but three are collecting dust. 14th published novel, and I'll let the world see. And and that's been one of my themes, is just how secrets, you know, family secrets, so many of us have family secrets in our past, and how those, you know, when those are revealed, why people keep secrets, first of all, fascinates me, and then what happens when those are revealed. And that is a theme through a lot of my novels. But also one of my themes that I have through almost every novel is just sort of this theme of ordinary people, men and women, doing just extraordinary things, you know, in hard circumstances, you know, kind of rising above their circumstances and doing things that are amazing. And even in this book, even though my characters are very flawed and troubled at times, I really hope that readers will sense that at the end, particularly, you know, with Walter and Libby just kind of being able to rise above their circumstances and doing some pretty incredible things, I think.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the other thing I mentioned to you before we went live here, Melanie, I wanted to talk about is the difference in love and obligation. And we see that play out, I think, in a lot of different ways. And I think we can talk around this without giving away anything. But Walter definitely talks about it, or thinks about it, rather. Thanks to you, we're able to know that. By the way, it's written about, what he's been through. But also, I think, Walter's wife, Maggie, you know, who also plays a very big part in this, you know, thinks about how her own actions could have affected her actions of her daughter, and how she blames herself. Again, another great parallel for parents out there today that look at things that their children go through and they think, you know, maybe I didn't do my part. Maybe I didn't protect them enough. Or because I made these bad decisions, maybe that's why this is happening. Maybe I'm being punished. What was that like for you to even consider as these characters, that because of what they may have done, it may have affected the lives of their offspring?
Yeah, and I think guilt in that situation, especially as a parent, and I have two kids, so I can really relate to that. You know, I think guilt as a parent is paralyzing for us. And when we feel guilty and we feel this paralyzing, it affects our relationship with our kids. And so I think that that's just trying to show that how, you know, we can feel bad, and I mean, some of us have made bad choices, you know, as we parent, but trying to move past that, ask forgiveness if necessary, reveal those secrets, you know, in the book if necessary, so they can understand where they've come from and the hard places that their parents have been. And then there's this great Bible verse that talks about, you know, creating beauty out of ashes. And I think that even when, you know, we've had horrible circumstances in our life, that beauty can still be created from that. And that's what I was trying to show through the book to people who, you know, Maggie, as you mentioned, she had a really hard life and she made some bad choices, but a lot of that was stemming from where she came from, you know, in the 1940s, coming out of World War II and being raised in a foster home where her parents didn't love her, and some of her hard stuff. And so just bringing that out, and I think, you know, kind of shedding light, and that's in the shadows of Leydenbrook Manor. I play a lot with light and shadows, and, you know, shining light onto that truth and making it known is just a huge part, I think, in the healing process.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And then there's a character that I didn't know how he would play into all of this, but definitely he plays a big part, and that was Oliver. I love the fact that you talk about in the book about how Oliver and I think especially Libby saw each other. They really saw each other, not by a title or by status, but as individuals. I mean, I think that, again, is another great parallel for us today, because there's so much, you know, put on the celebrity culture or who's involved in what relationships, you know, when it comes to celebrities. I mean,
right.
I do not think that Oliver would have done very well with the paparazzi in our day. For sure. But, I mean, was that also part of the fun of bringing that together, especially that one line that you wrote, and I'll paraphrase it because I can't remember it exactly, where Oliver wants to see Libby, and he says to her, you know, to meet me, you know, by the river, I think, and she says, you know, I can't swim, I'm afraid of the water, something like that, and he says, I'll take care of you. What was that like for you to kind of have these real relationships and real feelings that went beyond what other people saw?
Yeah, no, I loved Oliver. I really enjoyed his character in particular. But yeah, his character was so important because he saw Libby in a completely different light than everybody else saw her. And that's why I really wanted his character to be able just to see her as a beautiful, he saw her as beautiful and talented and not somebody who was in trouble at school or, you know, having all these issues. He just saw her heart and who she really was. And that's why I think he was so important. And yes, he was just this character that wanted to, and he actually looked at Libby with jealousy, even though he had all the money. He was, you know, the son of Lord Croft at Leydenbrook Manor, and he had all this future and potential, but he wasn't happy with who he was, where Libby was so content, in a sense, with her art and kind of who she was and the beauty that she found in life, and he looked at her with envy. And I just really, really enjoyed his character, and I'm glad you did as well. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it goes to what I was saying earlier, even about Walter, that you were able to write these characters that were so, you know, well thought out, I think, and well developed. And that brings us to another point. And we're going to tell our listeners how they can stay connected with you, Melanie, but one of the things that you use your website for us, and not only tell us about your books that you have and what's going on with you, but also to take us into the process. I mean, did you know going into this book in particular that you wanted to kind of take us behind the scenes? Because as I was prepping for this, I got to watch the one video where you talked about actually traveling to be able to see where the story, you know, might be set. Is that part of the fun? And tell us about the decision to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I sometimes say that I really write in order to do research, because I'm a little bit of a research junkie. I love the process of just kind of diving in and learning about, you know, this culture and the 1950s. And yes, I got to go to England and just had this amazing time going to the villages and spending time in particular with one woman named Evelyn, who just took me around. And when she found out what my story was about, turns out she was raised in the 1950s in a manor home. And so she just kind of said, your character would do this and read this and watch this and think this and wear this and, you know, kind of just say it to me. It was amazing. But, yeah, that is part of the process that I love, is really going to the different places. My last novel was set in France, and just going to places and just diving in and meeting the people and hearing their stories, and then making sure that I, to the best of my ability, get my research right. And so I know, you know, how were people on the autism spectrum treated in the 1950s? That was really important for me to know and to learn, you know, as part of my process.
Right, right. And now we're able to benefit for that hard work. Now, along with the readers that have been able to follow you, you have other authors as well, you know, that are singing your praises. I mean, what has that experience been like for you, Melanie, to not only be able to have readers like myself that have enjoyed your work, but to have your colleagues enjoy your work as well?
It is such an honor. I just am completely humbled and honored by it. And it is a delight. As part of my England trip, I was able to meet up with two of my favorite authors. They were there researching as well. And it just happened we were at the same place at the same time and got to sit down and have lunch with them. And we explored a big manor house where one of the authors had set her book. And, yeah, I just kind of in awe and just feel very, very honored by it, because I just sort of feel like, I don't know, I'm just enjoying it. I love to write and I enjoy the research and the process, but honored by any sort of praise or endorsement that I receive, truly.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned, you know, that you enjoy the research. I'm curious as to how a book like Shadows of Ladenbrook Manor, as you're sharing it in conversations like this, Melanie, or even in discussing it with your readers, with your fans, you know, talk to us about the appreciation, because that is one of the big things, going back to the butterfly, because we see the butterfly even in, of course, in the title, Ladenbrook, there's a butterfly there coming out of the oath. There is that scene that I mentioned that I wanted to reference, and that was, you know, when there's this very heated conversation, a very difficult conversation between Walter, Maggie, and Libby, and, you know, and Walter wants to get some answers, and I'll talk around that part too, and he says to Libby, you know, where have you been, you know, with the butterflies? And she says, you know, there are not any butterflies, you know, in the winter. You know, I think it's so interesting that, you know, that symbolism of the butterfly and how even, you know, the butterfly, you know, has to take shelter. I think, you know, for all of us, there has to be that safe place where we're able to go. Was that also part of the fun thing of being able to show that we all need to have someone or somewhere we can go to make us feel safe and to make us feel whole?
You know, I absolutely love that. I don't know that I consciously thought about that as I was writing the book, but I love how you are phrasing that, and how we do need a safe place to kind of fly home to, you know, a safe place in the winter. I love the thought of that. And yeah, the butterfly for me was very much just having seen Libby in a different perspective, and her, like Oliver saw Libby as a beautiful person, but seeing what Libby is passionate about, and, you know, for her it was the butterflies and then the art when she couldn't go and visit her friends, the butterflies. And I think as a writer, as we create characters, I think it's so important that we show their passions, because if you know what a character is passionate about, and for her the butterflies, it really endears you, I think. It endears me as a reader to characters when we know what they're passionate about. And for her, it was definitely the butterflies. And then I loved using that theme to show the transformation that somebody can have, and also just how somebody like Libby, you know, butterfly, beautiful but easily wounded, and like you said, needs a safe place. And, you know, I didn't know when I did the research that, you know, butterflies can't fly unless there's light. And so, you know, just bringing all that into it, as far as a butterfly can't fly in the darkness. They have to have the light. They can't even fly in the shadows. So anyway, it was just a fascinating study for me. And then bringing in Libby as sort of my butterfly, so to speak, through the book, and watching her life transform.
What a great thing, and what a great reminder for all of us, I think. Again, everyone, Melanie Dobson has been our guest today. Great conversation with you today, Melanie. The book is Shadows of Ladenbrook Manor. It's out now. Of course, you can get it through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite online retailer, or even your favorite bookstore as well. If they don't have it, they'd be more than welcome to be able to order it for you. I mentioned your website earlier, Melanie. How can our listeners stay connected with you, and what's coming up next for you?
Yeah, so my website is just my name, MelanieDobson.com, DOBSON.com, and I have a newsletter on there, and I send it out just a couple of times a year, just announcing, you know, when a book is free or when there's something else new coming out. And then I'm working on another time slip novel right now set in England called Catching the Wind, and so that's in the process, and that should be out next year. And then I absolutely love, honestly, connecting with readers, so there's my email address is on the website, and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff is there that readers can find.
All right. So make sure you all are staying connected with Melanie. Melanie, thank you so much for a great conversation today, and I look forward to our next conversation together.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it, too. Thanks again.
You're more than welcome. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live, whether you're joining us online or, of course, on the radio dial. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I actually tagged Melanie on both places to make it easy for you guys to find her. So just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.